Hello, my name's Christopher Joel, and I'm the regimental historian of the Household Cavalry. Now, over the coming weeks, I'm going to be trying to lighten the gloom that's all around us by recounting some extraordinary stories about our regiments that you've probably never heard before. Because, you see, the Household Cavalry is not just about boots and saddles, and in the immortal words of Michael Caine...
Now, there's not many people know that.
This week, I'm going to tell you a couple of lifeguard stories. A household cavalryman always dresses to impress. In 1950, the late Captain Michael Windham of the Life Guards was posted to Washington, D.C. to act as aide-de-camp to Air Chief Marshal Sir William Elliot, chairman of the British Joint Services Mission. The Americans at the Pentagon were perpetually confused by Windham's service dress uniform of breeches, boots, spurs, Sam Brown belt, and the three brass garter stars of a lifeguard captain on his shoulders, assuming him to be, despite his evident youth, a three-star general from some unspecified South American country. His spurs also made their mark. A secretary in the Pentagon, when writing handover notes for her successor, wrote, "Captain Windham is the one who continuously needs to rest his legs on the desk. Do not object to this, but if you would be so kind as to note each morning whether he is or is not in possession of his spurs, you'll be doing Captain Windham, the lifeguards, and the Pentagon Stationery Office a great service. The spurs are apparently necessary to prevent his feet from sliding off the desk." We now fast forward 20 years. The Colonel's Tipple. In August 1969, B Squadron of the Life Guards was the first armoured car unit to be posted to Northern Ireland as part of Op Banner. This was an operation to provide military support for the Northern Ireland garrison in the face of the violent Protestant backlash which followed the Catholic civil rights protests and the minor Stormont parliamentary reforms of 1968. It was the start of a succession of tours of duty for the lifeguards in Northern Ireland, which continued virtually unbroken until 1982. From early 1969 until mid-1971, the lifeguards was commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Desmond Langley, later Major General Sir Desmond Langley and the Governor of Bermuda. He was an amiable but highly professional officer with a carefully controlled stammer. And, like many of his colleagues, Langley enjoyed the comfort of a drink, providing it was taken in moderation. Although he was not in Northern Ireland in 1969, Langley found himself there in 1970. A larger formation of lifeguards, including regimental headquarters and headquarters squadron, had been sent to the province in armoured cars for the second time, although the vehicles had long since shown themselves to be completely unusable in urban riot situations. Based at a Nissan-hutted Second World War RAF station called Long Kesh, which was later rebuilt as the notorious Maze Prison, regimental headquarters had to content itself with deploying its armoured car-equipped troops to support the Royal Ulster Constabulary and the recently formed Ulster Defence Regiment, with armoured vehicle patrols along the porous Ulster-Era border between Newry and Crossmaglen. In the course of these military activities, Langley became friendly with his opposite number in the Royal Ulster Constabulary and the Ulster Defence Regiment, one of whom presented the lifeguards commanding officer with a spoil of war which had been acquired during a police raid on a suspected IRA house. Although the raid had not produced any Catholic terrorists, weapons or bombs, it had resulted in the police uncovering an illegal whiskey still. The spoil of war was a green glass medicine bottle of Pochin, the bootlegged and home-distilled potato spirit, reputed to be as alcoholically powerful and as dangerous as absinthe. Rather than send the Pochin back to the regiment's museum, then located in Windsor, Colonel Langley decided to try it for himself. He found that, neat, Pochin was completely undrinkable. He then experimented by diluting the potato spirit with a variety of different mixers. At last, he found a combination that was palatable.
"You know," Langley said before lunch one day, "it's really not that bad if you dilute it with a splash of tonic water."
And there we will leave the lifeguards for this week. Next week, I'll have some stories for you about the Blues and Royals.